Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. I'm David Bowes, your host. After an absence of 7 years, the comic hero Superman returns to the nation's theaters in Man of Steel. The indestructible Man of Steel is far faster than a bullet, vastly stronger than a locomotive, and can leap tall buildings in a single bound. For that matter, he can leap to outer space in a single bound. Superman's been a staple of pulp pages and comic fantasy since his first appearance in 1939. However, in this reimagining of the Superman character, some science fiction elements are added regarding his backstory. In this film, as in previous installments, Superman's home planet of Krypton is doomed to explode, and his parents launch him into outer space to Earth so that he can survive as the last son of Krypton. What's new is why Kryptonian society crumbled and what Superman takes to Earth with him. This is a minor spoiler for those who haven't seen the movie, so be aware. In this movie, Kryptonians outlawed natural birth and instead carefully pre-planned genetic results so that each individual born into their planet would fulfill a specific role. A doctor, a builder, a warrior, all were genetically manufactured, and choice in life, profession, and destiny were almost entirely taken away. They weren't given birth to naturally, but they were manufactured at an embryo facility. Superman's father, Jor-El, seeks to reinstate choice in life and reinvigorate independent thought and action, and with Superman's mother, breaks Kryptonian law, and they have Kal-El, the Kryptonian name of Superman. The military leader of the planet is displeased and seeks to take the genetic information of Krypton with him to restart the planet elsewhere, with a population manipulated by his own planning and without the political genetic lines that he has deemed impure. To thwart his plans, Jor-El steals the codex of all the genetic material on Krypton and hides it by implanting that information inside the cells of Superman. While Superman is, of course, entirely fantasy, the way cells store information is real. Here to talk about it with me is Senior Fellow with the Discovery Institute, Jonathan Wells. Jonathan, first of all, how deterministic is the information within our genetic code?
It's actually not very deterministic at all. It's highly exaggerated by people who want to reduce life to that kind of molecular level, and also who want to make it easier to explain our origin and the origin of other species by changing the DNA. In fact, living cells have much more information in them than is in their DNA, and we don't even understand much of that information at this point.
What kinds of real-life manipulations could you imagine people wanting to do?
Well, first of all, manipulating human embryos would be highly unethical, but also be very dangerous, because the fact is we really don't understand most of what's going on here. It's possible to make a fish that glows in the dark, but there is really no evidence, biologically speaking, that by manipulating DNA you can make someone smarter or stronger or more inclined to be a builder or a doctor or something like that. That's all fantasy at this point.
Until recently, I recall people mocking the Discovery Institute because of junk DNA. Then it was discovered that junk DNA wasn't so much junk. Could you highlight that for us?
Yes. The whole idea that we are basically a product of our DNA goes back to something called the Central Dogma in the 1950s. And according to the Central Dogma, DNA makes RNA, which is a chemical intermediate. The RNA makes protein, and the protein makes us. But only about 2% of our DNA actually contains information leading to proteins. The other 98% doesn't. And back in the 50s and the 60s, many biologists called that 98% junk. And they said it just accumulated in the course of evolution. Well, in the intervening years, we've learned a lot about that 98%, and it's turning out that most or all of it is, in fact, functional. So the whole idea of junk DNA is a myth.
So we've established that the idea of a society built around genetic manipulation in order to create their own builders, doctors, warriors, and plumbers, that's the realm of fantasy. What about the notion in Superman where information can be stored inside the cells, in this case of the hero, making his blood a literal database for the entire genetic line of Krypton? What kinds of information could potentially actually be stored inside of a cell?
Well, that's a little hard to say. You certainly could not store in the individual's DNA, because even though the DNA is only a small part of the information needed by our bodies, it's highly specified. You can't go fiddling with it without doing damage. So if genetic information were to be stored inside of a cell without destroying the cell or the individual, it would have to be stored in some kind of ultra-miniature capsule of some kind, which has not yet been invented.
How does the cell store information right now?
Well, we're actually just beginning to learn. It does store information in its DNA. That's true. It also stores information in the form of patterns in its membrane. The cell is not just a bag containing DNA. The membrane is highly patterned, and it helps to determine in an embryo, for example, where the head develops, where the tail develops, where the limbs develop. And so that's another form of information that we're beginning to understand. There are probably other forms as well, which we're just getting an idea of. We really don't understand at this point.
What has surprised you the most recently in terms of new things being learned about the information theory of the cell?
You mean the idea that the key to life is information?
Yeah.
I think there's something to that. I think that in itself may be an inadequate description of life. It's not just information that makes a living cell. A living cell is an agent, and we don't understand that, biologically speaking. We don't understand that in terms of computers. I mean, the cell is like a computer and an operator. It's a lot more than a computer. So I would say that life cannot be reduced to information any more than it could be reduced to molecules.
That's a key observation, because frequently we refer to cells as computers, but it doesn't make sense unless you also say the cell is both the computer and the operator, because things are happening with that cell.
That's correct. The cell makes copies of itself. It changes its information as it develops or as it encounters new environments. And this is all very mysterious at this point.
Senior Fellow of the Discovery Institute, Jonathan Wells, thanks for showing us how the real-life cell is even more amazing than the comic hero in the red cape. Thanks for your time.
Happy to do it.
That concludes this edition of ID the Future, a podcast of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. For more information or to contribute to the Center for Science and Culture, please visit discovery.org and click the Science and Culture link. This podcast is copyright 2013, the Discovery Institute. All rights reserved.